Jesus, we believe in you, God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. More than we can ask or think. Amen. We'd like to welcome all of our guests here to Calvary Gospel Church on our Wednesday night Bible study night. And if you're a first time here, first time guest, we have a connection card we'd like for you to fill out. You can get that from one of our ushers, fill it out, and give it to someone in the kiosk in the back. We would appreciate that. Just a few points of information. We'd like to get to know you a little bit better. If you're watching it online for the first time, there's a CGC a bit.ly link there. You can just fill that into your browser, and you can do the very same thing. I have a few announcements. You may be seated. Few announcements. First announcement is tomorrow at 7 p.m. is our annual business meeting. And so all of CGC members are encouraged to attend to check out our 2021 financial report. So that's at 7 p.m. tomorrow, CGC members. Next Saturday, February 27th at 10 a.m. is the ladies' tea. So any of the ladies 18 and above, or if you want to bring your daughters along, they're always welcome. Children, welcome. If you don't have a babysitter, it's always going to be fine to come to those events. All ladies are encouraged to come out for a refreshing time of fellowship. It begins at 10 a.m. in the fellowship hall. And so you can see Lindsay Simmons. She's running around here somewhere if you have any other questions about that. Now, the same day, next Saturday, February 27th at 11 a.m. is the Hyphen Chili Bowl. Woo! I've never been to the Hyphen Chili Bowl because I'm old, and I was old before I got here, so maybe I can get a special invitation. And probably couldn't play too much football, but I could eat some chili for sure. All of those out of high school through the age of 35 encouraged to join together for some snow football. It'd probably be more like ice right now. We'll take place at the Knopf's house in Sun Prairie. See Josh or Jenny Manis for details. And also next week, Friday, March 4th, is all church prayer at 7 p.m. So, and Sister Brown will be teaching on prayer again tonight, so we're excited for that. And while we're talking about prayer, let's all stand and go to the Lord in prayer tonight. We want to remember Sister Stephanie Thompson, who's dealing with health issues, various things going on, and we just want to keep her lifted up in prayer, not just basic prayer, but fervent prayer for Sister Thompson. And also, there's a number of other needs that have been mentioned in member care on our app, and so I think I messed up something. I was supposed to say something about giving options. Missing our back screen tonight, so I left it out. But if you have, if you brought tithes or offerings tonight, you can give it in an acrylic box in the back. You can send it in to Calvary Gospel Church in the mail at 5301 Commercial Avenue. You can also give on the on our new app. If you're a member of the church, that would be great to get on the app, the ministry app. I'm sorry, the church center app. I got like three different databases going through my head right now because of all the different things I'm a part of. But I'm sorry I skipped over that. But to get back on to what we're talking about right now, we're going to have prayer. Does anybody have a special need in the house tonight? Sister Anita over there. Anybody else? If you have a special need, why don't you just lift your hands to the Lord real high tonight? Let's just pray out loud. And would you just pray with those that are around you right now in the name of Jesus? We ask you, God, that you'll come into the sanctuary right now. Step into every situation, Lord God, that is presented here in physical by physical hands or by names that are mentioned, Lord God, even in the prayers of the saints from the pews, Lord God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we call upon you, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to intervene, Lord God, in Sister Stephanie's life right now in her body, Lord God. Do whatever is necessary, Lord God, to change the situation and circumstances she's involved in, Lord. I ask you, God, to touch Sister Sue Wittenbach right now in her body and all the things that she's struggling with. All of those that have been mentioned in member care, they're in our prayer chains, Lord God. We ask you, God, to lay your hand on every situation, every single struggle, Lord, tonight. God, just bless, Lord God, all of those who are in need, oh God, by need of healing, need of financial situations, need of family situations, God. I pray, Lord God, a blessing and a protection over every young family of our church, Lord God. It seems to be some spiritual attacks, oh God, on the young families, Lord. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would intervene in every situation right now, God. We ask you to just step in and be a comforter and a counselor, Lord, where there seems to be no way, Lord. Make a way, Lord. Make a way, Lord God. Change some minds, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise tonight, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You can be seated or worship with us as we enter into a time of worship. Amen.
Oh. Great I am, holy worship you. the great I am. He is in this place. God, we glorify you. We magnify you. We lift you up. We will exalt you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Jesus is so good. I love him so, so much. And I love him more today than I loved him yesterday. I love him more than I did when I first fell in love with him, because truly he gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter, and I can't wait to be with him again in heaven. We are with him right now. He's with us, but with him for eternity. God is so good. I just want to pray, and then I'll have you sit. Thank you, Jesus, for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, we just pray that you would have your way tonight, that, God, you would anoint my lips, that, God, they would only speak what you would have me to speak, that you would quiet them, anoint our ears to hear. Lord, let our hearts and our minds to be open and receptive to your word. In Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about prevailing prayer. And we have to have prevailing prayer. Prayer enables God to come into a situation, and God has given man domain over the earth. You, me, God said in his word that he's given us dominion over the earth. Prayer is the avenue that God has given us to connect heaven to earth. I don't know why God chose prayer. I can't tell you I know everything about prayer. I am learning. I am learning year by year, day by day, sometimes moment by moment. But I ask God consistently, show me how to pray. Situations change. Circumstances change. I am not God, but we are his vessel. And God has told his church to pray. So prayer, we know that it's powerful, and we know that God does many things through prayer. Through prayer, strongholds are broken, minds are transformed, marriages are healed, families are put back together, bodies are healed, souls are saved. Do we believe it? Do we believe it? God can do more in 5 minutes than we could do in a lifetime. Simply because he's God. 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 Our prayers can go where we cannot. I cannot be everywhere at once, but he can. I appreciate it so much, and I was going to talk a little bit about that, but this is a good place to put that. When Brother Thompson was talking on Sunday about Jesus and that woman, that when all the people were around them, there was a crowd of people, and yet he was alone with her. He was alone with her. He met her where she was at the point of her need. And yes, God meets us in our home. And if we aren't praying in our home, you can take this presence that you feel here into your home. You can praise him. You can pray. You can study the word. You can create the same atmosphere in your home. But as she prayed openly, as they were together openly, and the crowd pressed in, he said they were alone together. He was focused on her. And tonight, I believe that there are those that are in this place that God is focused on right now, if not all of us, if we will just put our focus on him. Our need, our desires, our petitions, that is not the focus of prayer. Yes, it is a part of prayer. We have not because we ask not. But Jesus is the focus. We are in a spiritual battle. Like it or not, we are in a spiritual battle. Our battle is not flesh and blood. It is not me against my husband, or my husband against me, or me against my child, or me against my boss, or me against my neighbor. The battle is a spiritual battle. And in order to fight a spiritual battle, we have to fight in the spirit. There's a battle for the souls of humanity. It's an age-old battle, and until Jesus resurrects us out of here and takes us, raptures us, the battle will wage. Prayers are eternal. They are powerful. And the most powerful thing we can do is to pray. Usually, and I've had to change my thinking, usually we say, well, at least I can pray. When we have come up against a wall and we've exhausted our means and we've done everything that we in our humanly possible mind can do, we turn around and we say, okay, the least I can do is pray. Why didn't we do that in the first place? Why do we wait? Why is prayer not our first thought? My husband, a few years ago, we were teaching a Bible study at Dolores's house, and as he stepped down, there was probably, I don't know, the same amount of steps going off her step, and somehow he forgot it was there, and he went down, and his ankle cracked, and he fell to the ground. He was in so much pain, he grabbed a hold of his foot. When I realized what happened, Dolores and I ran down the steps, and immediately the Lord prompted me to pray because I remembered a message, and I can't tell you who preached it or what it was, but it said to pray before the damage is done. Don't wait. Store up those prayers now. Put them in the vial. Get that prayer in the bank. Continue to pray. So when we got down on the ground, I began to pray. We began to call upon the Lord. And then when Kevin got ready to stand up, he put his weight on his foot and he tested it. And then he said, I don't have any pain. My ankle is fine. There's nothing wrong with my ankle. It had nothing to do with me, but everything to do with God. And see, the other day, Ryan, our son-in-law, he fell. He broke his hand. I didn't even think at that moment, let's pray now for him. I didn't. Shame on me. Why didn't I think that? Because my mind was thinking as a nurse. It was. Let me see. And then my other, James goes and he's looking at it and he's saying, move this, do that. You know, and we're looking for breaks and fractures and just bruising and whatever we could find. And then after, it was like, why didn't we just pray? But you know, we are in our flesh, we are human, but the Lord wants us to pray without ceasing. I am on a journey and I am determined to understand what that scripture means. The Lord has laid that upon my heart, stronger than ever in my life these last month. Pray without ceasing. Lord, how do I pray without ceasing? How do I do this? I'm beginning to understand more and more what the Lord is saying about that. God is love, is he not? Love is ever non-ceasing. It is eternal because God is eternal. So if God is love, then love is eternal. And prayer without ceasing is eternal. Our prayers will never die. They are stored in a vial. Our prayers, especially prayers full of the word, will not come back void, but they will do that which God has sent it to do. There are seasons in all of our lives. There are different times and different dimensions of prayer. Now, the first dimension is our everyday prayer, those prayers that we pray. We go in, we study the word. I was just reading recently in my devotion, I think it was yesterday, and the author was talking about our prayer time. And he said the first thing he does when he goes in to pray is he pulls out the word of God and he reads it. And his analogy, and I thought this was pretty good, he said, if I'm going to pray, I want to hear what God has to say first. I'm going to let God talk first. Many times God talks to us through the word of God, if not most of the time. He talks to us through our pastor. He talks to us through the preaching of the word. He talks to us in that still small voice. But most of the time, it's through his word. What does his word say? And tonight, we're going to talk about the mighty weapons of warfare. When you think of that, I don't know about you, but years ago, you know, I love it. I still use it, and there are times, but we have that black book on on prayer and spiritual warfare, and there's a lot of good. The thing I like most about it is that it's all biblical. It's scripture. It prayed the word. It taught me the word. I learned so much through praying. I started it in 1996, and I still use it. But the thing that it did is it gave me a visual. I bind that spirit. Lord, loose the spirit of excellence. It gave me a visual. I don't know that God was necessarily binding up or loosing or whatever he was doing in that, but what he was doing was helping me to learn how to pray the word. The word. Whatever God gives you to use, those prayer guides, books, there's prayer books, there's different guides, there are things that are out there for us to use as a guide. But as we grow, as we move out of that dimension, God will begin to speak to you in other ways as his spirit gives you utterance. You will find yourself, things will pop into your mind, a face or something as you're beginning to pray that God is revealing and speaking to you his heart. Can he trust us with his heart? The Christian fights in a much different dimension from the world in which we live in. Weapons of spiritual warfare. God is a spirit. We are filled with his spirit. We are spiritual beings, and we must learn what it is to fight in the spirit. We want to have the fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man that availeth much, that James is talking about. Ephesians 6 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And we are living in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. This is where we talk about the armor of God. We start teaching this to our children. I think we all are very familiar with this passage of Scripture. This is something that we should do every day. Be mindful of the armor of God before we even dive into prayer. We need to protect and guard ourselves. Spiritual warfare is not something that one day you wake up and say, I'm going to go and take on the devil. I would advise you not to do that. I would advise you to allow God to develop you in your prayer life and as a Christian. You've heard bishops say over the years when people would say, you know, how do you pray or what do you do? And he'd say, just do it. Just pray. Find a time and a place and do it. Just pray. If you aren't sure, maybe for some, this is new. This is a new concept. Maybe it's not a part of your life. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. We all had to learn. I had to learn. And as I shared last time, the best way that I learned was finding people that knew how to pray. I prayed by them. They prayed with me. I listened to them. I learned to pray by seeing others pray. And so we take on the helmet of salvation. We have to protect our mind and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication, they're not the same. Prayer and supplication are two separate things. It's listed that way, and not just here, but in other places. With all supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that an utterance, why do we pray this? Why are we in spiritual warfare? Why do we do what we do? Paul says that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The disciples, the apostles, when they prayed, if you look at their prayer requests, they didn't pray for protection. They didn't pray for food. They didn't pray for shelter. They didn't pray for transportation. No, they prayed for boldness. They prayed for boldness. Boldness is not arrogance. Boldness is confidence in the Word of God and in Him. So when we take on the full armor of God, we're guarding our mind. We're putting on the breastplate of righteousness. The Bible tells us that our heart is deceitfully wicked. We need to protect it. We need to guard it. We need to search it. We need to spend time every day in repentance. It doesn't mean that you've done some sin. It simply means that maybe, like I was thinking on Saturday, I was thinking as a nurse, I had to get my mind in line with the Spirit of God. Sometimes God wants to show us things in the Spirit. Sometimes He wants us to do things in the Spirit. And we have to get our minds in line with His, because our hearts, it doesn't know. The Bible says our hearts are deceitfully wicked. We have to take on the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We need to take on the belt of truth. We have to know truth, because truth dispels darkness. Truth is light. If we don't know truth, we can't dispel darkness. You can't speak into a situation if you don't know truth. And there is so much going on right now in our world that truth needs to be spoken, and we need the boldness. So what is spiritual warfare? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? It is a lie that has been implanted and embedded in your mind. I'm no good. God doesn't hear my prayers. God doesn't want to heal me. God doesn't love me. I'm a failure. I can't do anything right. My kids don't like me. That is a stronghold. And the enemy is lying to you. And it's time to look him in the face and say, "Get thee behind me. Out of my face, devil. You don't belong in my house." It's time to take authority and take back what the enemy has taken. I know that not everybody may be facing that, but I know that in this place there are some that are struggling. There are some that are battling this. God does not want you to have to battle this in the flesh. It is a spiritual warfare. And the only way to do it is to pull down those strongholds. So what does that mean? Okay, so that means I go and I find a stronghold. I pull, I tug, I fight, I grab. I grip, I push, I pull. No, no, we got to do it God's way. God is a spirit. If God is a spirit, how would we do it? The fruit of the Spirit. That's part of it. But there's more. We have to cast down imaginations, things that come into your mind, lies that are being told to you, things that are being fed. And young people, especially you, you are going to schools that are not teaching you truth. They are trying to deceive you. They are trying to manipulate you. They are trying to grab hold of your mind. They will tear down everything that God has planted in you if they could. You have to guard your mind. Your parents will do what they can, but you've got to develop your own prayer life. You've got to get into the Word. You've got to make this yours. You've got to know truth so you can dispel darkness when it comes, because it will. The enemy is out to destroy you, and he doesn't care. But greater, greater, everybody say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater. You are not defeated. Don't listen to those lies. You are not. We are more than conquerors. The Bible says we are victorious. So, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. We don't fight this war with our carnal thinking. What is carnal thinking? Last year, our pastor did a series on carnality. He talked to us about the warning signs and those things that get into us that are carnal. And I had planned to go further before I started this, but I feel like now I just want to go through some of those symptoms of carnality, things that we need to watch for. Pride, love of human praise, anger, impatience, self-will, carnal fear, jealousy, lust, dishonesty, exaggerations, false representation, unbelief, formality, and deadness, lack of concern for souls, lack of power with God, selfishness, love of ease and money, complacency, stinginess, and sowing discord. So what do we do when those things start to creep in and we are aware of them? How do we begin to get rid of that carnal thinking? The only thing that stops a fight is humility. In a world at conflict, the Lord says, if my people humble themselves, we have got to lower ourselves and allow God to be lifted high. The Bible says that if he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. I can be honey. I can be sweet. I can be kind. I can do, and we should do those things for our neighbor, for our coworkers, for our families. But if he be lifted up, that's when the world looks and they say, what is it that you got? Why does your face glow? How come you look so beautiful? Why is your hair so long? And instead of saying, because my religion teaches me, say, oh, it's the glory of God. It's my glory. What? What are you talking about? It's a glory. Do you know Jesus? I know Jesus. Can I tell you about Jesus? They may say yes. They may say no. They may say, what do you believe? What's different about you? Have we given them a chance? Or have we just sort of dissed it off and said, they don't want to know. They don't care. They don't care. They do. They really do care. And they are watching. And my husband always has said, Linda, you never know who's watching. You never know. Mighty weapons of warfare. Some example of those weapons of spiritual warfare. Truth. The belt of truth is light. It dispels the darkness. We must speak truth. In spiritual warfare, darkness must be exposed. The sin, the hurt, the bitterness, the fear, the doubt, the shame, the pride, and anything else that is hidden. We must allow God to expose it. It has to be, because God cannot dwell where there is sin. He will not dwell where there is sin. It separates us. We got to lift the veil. We got to lift the veil and let Jesus in, because he desires more than anything to dwell in harmony with his creation. Love. Brother Thompson did a beautiful analogy on Sunday, but love. Love is an action word. Love is powerful, and God is love. Love never fails. My daughter just confirmed on my way home from church after praying about this and thinking about that prayer without ceasing. One of the first things that Nicole said before we left for work was, I've been studying 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and on love. And she started to share. And I said, that's one of the weapons of our warfare. I was going to talk about that tonight. And I had actually in our prayer group yesterday read from 1 Corinthians 13. Because love is one of those weapons. Love never fails. Love never ceases. We are to love without ceasing. Likewise, we are to pray without ceasing. I remember several many years ago when we were young, and I think we only had four children, and I don't know if I shared this with you, but it did come back to me as I was preparing. But many years ago, I was struggling, and you know, I don't know where I got this concept, but I had this idea that women were supposed to be quiet, we were never supposed to complain, we're supposed to submit to our husbands, and we are. I'm not saying we aren't. But we're supposed to have that quiet, meek spirit, and I'm never supposed to be grumpy. I'm always supposed to smile. I'm always supposed to look nice, and everything is supposed to be good. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I didn't know what a Christian home looked like. So I set up this very high standard. And for 5 years, in frustration, I tried to do that. Until one day, I couldn't do it anymore. And I stood in our room and I said, I can't. And I just spewed everything out just the way I felt it, tears streaming down my face. I did not hold back. I let every bit of my emotion out. And my husband, he just looked at me and he walked over to me. I didn't know what he was going to do or what he was going to say. But he grabbed me in his arms and he held me. And I just cried so hard. And he said, I love you. I said, you still love me after everything I just said and said it the way I said it? And he said, I love you more. I just melted. And after, I thought, God, if my husband can love me that much, a mere man, how much more do you love me? And so I began to take those things to the Lord because he could do something about it. My husband couldn't. But the Lord could. And the Lord began to deal with my heart. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't have to keep going back to the altar. I do in my prayer room. I take it to God. Lord, I'm angry right now. I feel really impatient. Lord, I'm fearful. I'm afraid. I talk to the Lord, just like I'm talking now. And the Lord talks back. He talks to me through his word. Through the preaching, when I come to church. So love is one of those weapons. And then we have the weapon of faith and prayer. They go together. The life of faith expressed in prayer. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When you pray the word and you hear yourself pray, I'd encourage you, I'm not going to tell anybody how to pray. You have to do what you feel. Just pray. But I will say that when I started praying aloud, my ears heard it. My faith rose. My prayers no longer stayed bottled up here. They got out. They also changed the atmosphere of my home. They changed the atmosphere of my workplace. Because you see, the enemy can't read our mind. But you tell him where he's to go and that you're staying right here. I'm not going anywhere, devil. My house is not your home. This is not your domain. You are not welcome here. You need to flee. The Bible says that we are to submit ourselves to who? The devil? No, to God. But how many times do we submit ourselves to God? Who's ruling our tongue? Who's ruling our mind? Who's ruling our heart? Are we angry with our brothers and sisters? Do we get angry with our pastor? What is happening in our mind and in our heart? Is it the Lord or the enemy? And most of the time, you know who I found? I found the enemy. I found him. And you know, it is I. It is I. It's what happens between these two ears on my head. My thought processes sometimes get skewed. And so prayer helps me to bring myself back in alignment with God and alignment with my husband. So we take on the shield of faith. Why? So we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I guarantee you every day the enemy is going to come and he's going to say something to you. And you just say, oh no, devil, it is written. It is written. The word of God says this. The Bible says that I am more than a conqueror. The Bible says that I am victorious. The Bible tells me, devil, where you're going, and I know where I'm going, and I'm not going where you're going. So just get out of my life. Leave. Take your baggage and leave. You aren't welcome here. You aren't welcome. But before we can do that and identify what the enemy is doing, we have to know his strategies. That's what spiritual warfare is. The devil will always have a counterfeit for what God has for you. So, truth, what's he going to throw? Half-truth. He tempted Jesus in the wilderness, and what did he say to Jesus? Throw yourself down, the angels, they'll carry you. And what did Jesus say? No, it is written, don't tempt the Lord thy God. We have to be able to see and identify when the enemy is speaking a half-truth, an exaggerated truth, a partial truth, a little truth, whatever it is, identify it and call it out. He'll leave. He will. He will leave. When your children come home from school and they face things in their school, be prepared. Speak truth. It will dispel darkness. Truth. And so as we continue and we take the belt of truth and we take God's love and we take faith and we take prayer, there's one more. It's righteousness. Not our righteousness, but his righteousness. Because our righteousness, this is filthy rags. I'm going to fail. I'm going to fall short. I'm going to do things that I probably shouldn't. I'm going to blow up. I'm going to lose my temper. I'm going to, I don't know, whatever it is that maybe you struggle with. We all struggle with different things. But this is where the righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, is what guards our heart. Being aware of what's coming in. I ask God now, I say, Lord, if I have unforgiveness in my heart, show me before I even have to recognize that I'm being unforgiving. Just show me right away. I'll tell you, sometimes it's painful, but he does. And it doesn't take root in my heart, because if it does, I will become bitter. And I am going to be the one who struggles. An example of prayer, I like to have examples. For me, I don't know if it helps you, but you're getting down and you're praying and you're having a good prayer time. You've gotten past the repentance and you're now interceding, you're travailing, you're praying for others. And all of a sudden, you realize the way that you're praying maybe for an individual, you have the wrong attitude about it. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, whoa, back up. You go back to repentance. It's that simple. You simply say, Lord, that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Search my heart. Get that out of there. I don't want that there. That was a bad attitude. I'm praying for my boss. And I said, and you know, Lord, you can just remove them. Just get them out of there. Whoa. I don't know about you, but it happens sometimes. I get frustrated with people. I do. But then the Lord reminds me. Words are powerful, and words are alive. Our words speak love. Our words can speak forgiveness. Our words speak the name of the Lord, who is a high tower. We can run unto the Lord, and we can be safe. Proverbs 18 and 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. The Spirit of God, as I said earlier, can do more in 5 minutes than we could in a year. Start praying for that thorn in your flesh. Start praying for that person. Over time, you will begin to love them, and you will see them differently. And there are people that I have prayed for that perhaps I started out maybe just kind of nitpicking, and not people in church, or, you know, these are people that maybe I'm looking at them and I don't like what they're doing or decisions they're making. And you start complaining, and, you know, COVID was a good example of what was in my heart during that time, my attitude. There were things that the Lord had to speak to me about. And so I began to give some of that stuff to the Lord. And as I did that, the Lord began to show me my attitude and my heart. And as God began to show me, it was an opportunity for me now to pray and to pray for those people. And pretty soon, I began to see the good in them. I began to see the decisions that they were making. It didn't mean I agreed with everything, but I began to see them as God saw them, as a soul. Because you see, every one of us is a soul. Our battle is not with one another. It is not with the world. It is not with the people that are out there. Our battle is with the enemy of all of our soul. And so we do this in the Spirit. We war in the Spirit. Remember, we walk by faith and not how we feel. I decide how I'm going to feel and how I'm going to react. Years ago, I hated my job. I did. They took me out of rooming and they put me in on phones, and I was like, I don't like this. All I am is answering phones. Hang up, pick up, hang up, pick up. All I'm doing is answering phones, and I'm tired. I want to see human people. And I got down and I was praying about that. And you know what the Lord showed me? Linda, it's you. Those are people. You're just communicating with them on the phone. The phone isn't the person. The phone isn't your job. But the person on the other end of the phone, they have a need and they're calling you. I began to pray then about that. And you know, I love my job now. I love it. And I know I think I shared this last time, but I do. I honestly can tell you I love my job because they're people. And when we love people, we feel differently. So I decide when I go to work how I'm going to feel, how I'm going to react. Do I feel persuaded? Do I feel confident in Christ? When my children walk out the door, if I had little ones still, do they feel confident when they go to school? Are they confident in Christ? He that has begun a good work will complete that work. Speak truth. I would encourage you, and Sister Walker, last year at our ladies' retreat, she had talked to us about some of the tools that she used when she would pray and she would battle, you know, different things that would come up against her, or fear or doubt or whatever it might be. And she got 3x5 cards, and she did a study and researched the word, and she would write the opposite. She'd take it and she'd write the opposite. What is the opposite of fear? What is the opposite of whatever it is that maybe you're struggling with? But she called it word replacement therapy. Sometimes we just need to do a whole word replacement in how we talk to one another and how we communicate with each other, how we talk to our spouses, our children. How do I talk? What am I saying? Set up your prayer room. If you haven't yet, I encourage you, find a place to pray. It could be a room, your living room. It could be wherever you decide you want to pray. I pray in the car, but I also have a set place to pray because I need to read my Bible, and I can't read it in the car. I can't write my notes in the car. Find a designated place. I have a chair that I like to bow down and just bury my face in the chair and pray. But find a place for time with God. Over the years, our prayer room has been our living room. Many times people, missionaries, visitors, guests have walked into our home and could feel the peace of God. Can people feel the peace of God in your home? If someone calls up unexpectedly and needs a shoulder to cry on, what will they find? Where will they go? God will show up where he is wanted. He will show up where he is desired. He will show up if we want to have interaction with him. What should you take into that prayer closet? Your Bible, a journal. Start writing down. I've got years of journals scattered all over the house. But journals. Start writing in those journals. Start dating them. Things you've prayed for. Answers that God has given you. Find a comfortable place to sit. Make sure you have good lighting so you can read your word. Bring some index cards. Take some prayer guides. And try and pray out loud. Speak the word. Make declarations of who God is in your life, your family, your home. We have the declarations of the word of God. This is ours. Whoops. This is ours to declare. Declare and decree. We have been given the authority by Jesus. So take the word of God and declare it. Take the word. Be prepared for God to show up, because God will. And I'm gonna close on this thought. When I was in Germany, I think the second time we were there, I had gotten into a 2 o'clock prayer time. And that just was my time. I used to be morning, but the kids went to school. It took me time to get the girls out. And then I'd put Andrew down for a nap and I would pray. And I would go in there every day. And one particular day, I just was praying. Or I didn't pray. I was doing laundry or dishes or cleaning up the kitchen. And I looked, oh, it's 5 minutes. I better hurry up and get this done. Oh, let me just finish this. Let me do that. You know, distractions, things you have to do. And that's okay. They're things that are necessary. And yes, they are spiritual. Taking care of our families is spiritual. It's okay. But I'm cleaning, and all of a sudden it's getting past 2 o'clock. And I can almost feel the Lord saying, where are you? Linda, I'm sitting here. I'm waiting. Where are you? Where are you? I could feel it. It was making me uneasy because I'm like, oh, I got to get in there. And I finally relented and I went in. Because the Lord will wait for us. Because he knows we are coming. There are times that I took my entryway and I turned it into a battleground. And I prayed and I walked and I paced and I said out and I literally opened the door. I prayed around the perimeter of my home. There are times that we will pray in different dimensions. But remember, each time you make time for God, he makes time for you. I've heard it said, and I think it was Sister Vesta Mangan who said this, and I may not say it exactly the way she said it, but what she said was, anything that we don't pray over gives the enemy permission to get his hands in it. That was a sobering thought. Lord, I'm going to pray over my day. I'm going to get on my knees before I leave my home. I'm going to spend time with you because I need you. I need you, Jesus, to move into my situation, into my circumstance. Prayer is pressing our way to the altar, and whatever it's going to take. I can remember many times I'd say, God, I'm not leaving here until you move. And I stayed there, face planted on the carpet. I said, God, if you don't move, I'm staying here. I've determined I need you. I need something right now. I need you to move. But you see, desperation moves God. Doesn't mean that we have anything desperate in our lives, but it simply means that, God, I'm serious with you. I need you to help me through this. I need you to guide me through this. I need help. And then you commit it to God. Anything that you commit to God, you will not regret. You will not. God is sovereign. God's not a puppet. He's not a genie in a bottle. He is God. He is God over all the earth. He is our Heavenly Father, and he loves us like no other. He wants to wrap you in his arms, and he wants to simply love you. Let him. I invite you to stand, and if you would like to come to the altar, if you'd like to pray, if you want to gather your families, I would encourage you to get comfortable praying with your children. Let them hear you pray. Let them hear you talk to the one you love the best. Let them hear you tell Jesus how much you love him. Communicate that love. They need to hear it. They need to know it. Jesus knows it. But sometimes he just wants us to say it. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you have given us prayer, that you have given us your heart. I thank you, God, that the weapons that we fight with, they are not carnal. Lord, that frankly takes a lot of energy from my spirit. Jesus, I need more love. I need that light, that truth, God. Lord, that when I walk into a room, that it would dispel any darkness, that those spirits would have to flee. That God, as we walk, as Paul walked on the streets, as your disciples, as they went out, that God, even as their shadow was cast upon the ground, people were healed. Lord, I want that dimension in prayer. I want that power that you have given us. Lord, you have given us the power. It is within us. But Lord, I'm asking you to help me to navigate through it. Because, Lord, this is not something that I can do on my own. I cannot fabricate it. I cannot will it. I cannot make it happen. But, Lord, you can. And, Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we bind together as a body, as you loose those gifts, Lord, as they flow freely in your body, Lord, you so desire to give us those gifts. You so desire for those gifts to operate. And our pastor has given us that liberty. And I pray, God, that as you move upon our hearts, that we would open up our hearts to you and to allow your spirit to flow through us. God, I pray that you would raise up the intercessors, that you'd raise up those that would battle that would stand in the gap, that maybe, Lord, we don't even know who we're praying for, but our hearts would be in tune with you. Because, Lord, you know who needs prayer. You know, God, that child down the street that does not have a home. You know that child that went to bed hungry. You know that widow, God, who has no money. Jesus, I pray right now that as you sweep over this body, that God, our hearts, our minds would be stayed upon you. And that, God, you would develop in me that desire.